Is that the video? Sorry, my bad. God bless you. I love you. Amen. Let's welcome all of our locations, family, and friends literally all over the world. Amen. Would you do that? Hi, guys. Love you. Love you so much. Well, Father, I thank you for your goodness in our lives. We are so blessed. And I thank you for making us a blessing in these end days. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to begin a new series, a part of our series of series, the Made series. And so I want to be sharing on the subject of being made whole now by God, being made whole by God. I wish we could replay that video in more ways than one. I'd like to replay it so I could come out on time and fix that, but I wish I could replay it as well. And what that video is expressing is just brokenness and then reversing the brokenness. And I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but we were a broken people because of sin. Sin in our lives and sin in the world, we were born into a broken condition. And Jesus has come to make us whole. And so I'm going to discuss that specifically, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. I don't want to recap my vision that I had in 1980. I've shared it on numerous occasions, but right after I saw the cross and my identity with Jesus on the cross in 1980, the two scriptures that the Lord took me to begin to explain the vision that I saw was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And before that vision of the cross, those and many scriptures, I just couldn't harmonize. I couldn't understand what God was saying. Like 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself. Man, I would read scriptures like that, and I would think, well, maybe I didn't get saved, because I'd look at my body, and old things didn't pass away, and all things become new. I would think about my thinking, and old things didn't pass away, and all things become new. But then when I saw that vision of the cross and how that I was there and how I was identified with Jesus and now he's identified with me, I began to see that, wait a minute, he's talking about my spirit man. He's talking about a part of me that I wasn't taught that has been radically changed and become a new creation. And in my spirit is where I'm born again. In my spirit is where I've become a new creation. In my spirit, old things passed away. And in my spirit, all things became new. And in my spirit, all things are of God. Once I begin to see that and understand how I'm created, spirit, soul, and body, and how my soul just simply needs to be renewed to what God's done in my spirit, then I begin to see change in my outer man and my body. So let's talk about these things and look at them. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 24. Rejoice evermore. Man, I love that scripture. It's one of the few scriptures in the Bible you can't mess it up. Even if you read it backwards, you get the same thing. Amen. We are to be a people of joy, a people of rejoicing. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we pray 24/7. It means when you believe God for something, don't give up, give in, or give out. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. How many of you know God uses imperfect people and people can miss it? And if you're not careful, you can begin to despise the gifts because of people misusing them or mishandling situations with the gifts. And prophecy is one of those things we all need. And just because people mess up or make mistakes, he says, don't despise prophesying. We need it. Prove all things, though. Test everything. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Wholly. Not holy, like Holy Bible. We've spent time on that. God wants us to be holy. But he's saying, in the sense of our person, wholly or completely. And then he describes us, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that hath promised, who will also do it. Hath promised what? God has promised to present us to himself wholly or completely, spirit, soul, and body. God came to fix us, and not just a part of us, but all of us. God came to make us whole, or to complete us, or to reverse what sin and Satan had done in our lives. And in this world, Christ came to reverse that and make us whole in our spirit, make us whole in our soul, our mind, our will, our intellect, our emotions, our ability to reason and discern, and in our bodies. And he said that we're going to be presented blameless before him, not just in part of us, but all of us. God didn't just come to save my spirit, or come to just save my soul, or just come to save my body, but he came to save me spirit, soul, and body. You and I, in our divine design, are a three-part being. We serve a triune God. Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't serve three gods. We serve one God in three distinct separate manifestations, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not three people, but there are three distinct separate parts of me that the Bible can describe and define and can explain to me how I am, what I am, who I am, and how to be whole, spirit, soul, and body. When you get saved, it's your spirit that gets changed. It's your spirit that becomes born again. But now you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, so you can put off the old man now and put on the new man. And God wants us to do something with these bodies. Man, this teaching is going to be important. Some of you think you know what I'm going to say. You've heard me minister on this in the past. I get that. I heard me back then too. And yet I've learned things. I'm growing in my knowing of my divine design. I'm growing in my understanding of God's purpose for me in my spirit and how he works in my spirit, in my soul and how he works in my soul, and in my body. There's a lot of teaching that's going on today. If you don't know the teaching I'm about to share, you'll hear people say things like, well, our bodies don't matter, and how we live our lives doesn't matter, and sin just works in my body. It doesn't work in my spirit, so sin doesn't matter, and on it goes with all these doctrines that are emerging because people don't understand that God wants your body, not just your soul and not just your spirit. He wants all of you, and your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I'll get into some of these things when I get into the body, but I want to start with, again, that we are created in the image and in the likeness of God. We too are a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. There's three distinct separate parts of you. In other places in the scripture, it talks about two parts of us, a two-part being. In 2 Corinthians, for instance, chapter 4, verse 16, it says that our inward man is being renewed day by day, and our outward man is perishing. See, your bodies are perishing. Your outward man is perishing. And people argue with me about this. I'm okay with that. I'm not contentious about it. But you're perishing. Look at your high school pictures, saints. You're perishing. Some of you are fading fast. And while the outward man, my body, is perishing and fading, my inward man, he said, is renewed day by day. I'm going to show you this in detail, but our inward man is the combination of our spirit and our soul. It's called the heart in the Bible. My heart is the combination of my spirit and my soul. Some places in the Bible, heart is talking specifically about spirit. Other places in the Bible, heart is talking about the soul. In a couple of places, heart is talking about the combination of the spirit and the soul. It's your inner man. Your soul and your spirit cannot be separated. The only thing that can separate it is the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. But your spirit and your soul can be separated from your body. We call that death. if the Lord tarries, your inward man is going to be separated from your outer man, which is your body, and your body will return to the dust from whence it came. Your spirit and your soul will return to God from whence it came. And when Jesus appears and his kingdom, he's bringing you back with him, and you're going to get a new body, a resurrected body, that it will be an immortal body, an eternal body, an incorruptible body. But let's talk about our salvation now, quickly, just in three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Because if someone would have said this to me and shared this with me, it would have helped me so much. I can't tell you how many things that I was confused over sitting on the front row in a church, because things weren't explained to me. Things would be said, preaching would happen, and I'm not against preaching. I get excited sometimes and accidentally preach myself. So I'm not against it. But man, I needed to understand what the Bible is saying. I knew when I read it what it said, but I didn't know what it meant, and thereby how to apply it to my life. And so I'd hear things that were confusing, like I am saved by faith. Then I would hear someone quote a scripture that says we're saved by hope. And faith is now. Hope is future tense. And then I would read some of the Bible trying to learn, and I would read scriptures that talk about how I'm being saved. And so it just confused me. So let me just give you the process quickly of salvation. I'll be elaborating on this over the next few weeks. Your spirit, that's the innermost part of your heart, your spirit is saved now by faith. When you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and you believe God raised him from the dead, by God's grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is now. And when you accept Jesus, something radically, miraculously happens deep on the inside of every man or woman's heart when they make a profession of faith in Jesus, and their spirit man is born again. It's born anew. It is sealed, we're going to see, by the Holy Spirit of promise. It's united to Jesus himself, etc., etc., and we'll get into that. So in one sense, I am saved by faith right now. Now my soul, that's my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect, it's the seat of my personality. All of those things, they are being saved by the Word. Amen. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted Word of God that is able to save your souls. God's Word is changing my mind. God's Word is saving my mind. I'm losing my thoughts and receiving His thoughts. I'm rejecting and denying my opinion. Your opinion is part of your soul. Some of you got a pretty big soul. Your opinion is part of your soul. That part of you is being saved by the washing of the water of the Word. As you get in the Scriptures, as you seek God, as you meditate on the Word of God, it's that engrafted Word that is able to save your soul. So my soul is in the process of salvation. My emotions are being renewed. My thoughts are being renewed. My opinion again is being renewed. My ability to judge is being renewed. That's a part of the soul. And as my mind is being renewed by the Word of God, my life is being transformed. It's being changed. So my spirit is saved by faith. My soul is being saved by the Word of God. My body is saved by hope. And hope is future tense. And hope in the Bible is not hope like people that go buy a wishing well and throw a penny in it and have hope that something will happen in their life. That's not the kind of hope that's in the Bible. The kind of hope in the Bible is a confident and a assurance of something. It's just not now, it's coming. Faith is now, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is always now. Hope is future tense. But if you look up hope in any concordance, it's almost defined like faith. But it's future tense. Romans chapter 8, verses 23 and 24. Actually, you ought to read from about verse 20 to 24. It talks about all of creation is groaning and travailing. The earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We've already by faith been declared the sons of God, but Jesus at his appearing and his kingdom, we will be manifested, spirit, soul, and body, as the sons of God. And the earth that is groaning because of the curse of the fall, not the curse of the law, the curse of the fall, that curse will be removed off of the earth. And then it goes into verse 23, saying how that we as Christians, we've received the first fruits of our salvation, and that we too are groaning on the inside, waiting for the adoption of sons of God, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Your bodies are purchased, but they haven't been redeemed. My spirit has been redeemed. It's been sealed. It's united to Jesus. My mind is being renewed by the Word of God changing my life, and my body is saved by hope in the resurrection. That if the Lord tarries, your body will go to the dust from whence it came, but your inward man, your spirit and your soul, that is your heart, will go to be with the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so my inward man is being renewed day by day because my spirit is saved, sealed, born again. It's the first fruits of my salvation. And now I love God and I'm pursuing God, and my mind is being renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. I remember some years ago, a guy got all upset at me and he called me all kinds of names. Just terrible. People can be mean, bless their hearts. But he jumped all over me. I don't know if he had a demon. I don't know what his issue was, but he was messed up, bless his heart. And so I just took it. I just sat there and took it. And he called me all kinds of names. Not all of them were true. There were a couple. It was right. So I just took those two. And then he pointed his finger at me, said, "You're a professional brainwasher." And I thought for a minute, that one got my interest up. I may not be a professional brainwasher, but how many of you can admit we need our brains washed by the washing of the water of the Word? And I do understand I can be persuasive. I get that. But I don't brainwash anybody, but I do invite you to Jesus, the brainwasher of the universe, that'll cleanse your mind from the pollutants of this world, cleanse your mind from the filthiness that our souls are connected to in this world. And we need washed by the washing of the water of the Word. Just sitting here right now, I've already quoted enough Bible. If your heart is open, I'm cleansing your inner man. I'm cleansing what part of your inner man? Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect. And so our bodies are saved by hope. All right, Genesis 2:7. Let's talk about creation here real quick. And look at the first man, because the first man is a prototype of what man should be like, and God willed for man to be like. God didn't will all this sin in this world. He didn't will all this death. Do you know if sin hadn't entered the world, you would never die? Adam would have lived forever. It was sin that brought death. And God never willed for us to die. That's why it's so radical, facing the door of death and your inner man being torn out of your body. That's why death is so radical. God never intended for you to have to leave this body, but because of sin and what sin did to the body, and sin is done to the soul, and now the spirit of man, God has our salvation somehow or another. I don't know everything. I don't understand everything. But I see that I am saved right now in my spirit, man. I'm being saved in my mind as I walk with God and in the Word. And that I have the hope of the redemption of this body at the appearing of Jesus and His kingdom. You are going to get a new body. Your body has been bought. But it hadn't been redeemed. It'll be redeemed at the appearing of Jesus and His kingdom, the resurrection. And it'll be incorruptible. It'll be immortal. It won't have any sickness in it. It won't have any weaknesses. Listen, it won't have any wrinkles.
I need an amen on that one.
I was trying to find something that would excite you. It'll be a perfect body, and you'll never come out of that body again for eternity, as God originally ordained it. Now watch the first man that God made, the prototype for mankind, Adam. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. I'm looking at a new series. I'm going to have to do a new series. Because I'm so excited in my personal life right now of some things God has shown me in a deeper way about the ground. That just said man came out of the ground. This chapter teaches that everything came out of the ground. God formed the trees out of the ground. God formed the animals out of the ground. All the vegetation out of the ground. Everything came out of the ground. Then everything God formed out of the ground had seed and would reproduce after its own kind after that. But everything came from the ground. The ground was created by God to produce. Anything we need is in the ground. All we need is a seed to activate what's already in the ground. I used to think that seeds in and of themselves were the life and the tree. The tree is in the ground. Orange trees are in the ground. There's orange trees out there in that ground. There's pear trees in that ground. There's corn in that ground. There's apples in that ground. Anything we need is in that ground. All we have to do is get a seed to get out of the ground what God wills for our life. There's no need you have here today that God hadn't given you a seed and ground. The kingdom of God is the ground. The word of God is the seed. And God's given us all the same seed, the same ground. We just need to see what need we have, find a seed, and plant it in good ground. That's why it's important that our church be good ground. That behind the scenes we be the real deal and that we cultivate the ground because people are coming. All of you are here today, and if you'll just bring a seed and sow it into this ground, the ground will yield fruit of itself. And so the first man came out of the ground. That's why we return to the ground. So he formed him out of the ground and he gave him seed so he would reproduce after his own kind. The elephants came out of the ground with seed and reproduce elephants. Giraffes came out of the ground and have seed and now we'll reproduce elephants. Monkeys came out of the ground and monkeys have seeds. And all a monkey can reproduce is a monkey. You didn't come from a monkey. No matter how you act, no matter how you think. And how we could believe stuff like that. Why don't we see monkeys evolving into people today? Because it's a cockamamie story. Everything reproduces after its own kind. Now I'm going somewhere. Thank you for clapping. I set you up. Hang on to that thought. Everything reproduces after its own kind. A giraffe can't reproduce anything but a giraffe. A lion, a lion. A man, a man. Men have seed, reproduce after their own kind. Now look at this. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He forms this man out of the ground, pulls him out of the ground. He's got a body. Listen, he's got a brain. God, face to face, nose to nose. Breathed, spirit, breathed, breath, spirit in the Hebrew of life, and the man became a what? The spirit brought life to his brain, and the spirit brought life to his body. The way God created us, original in first creation, was that our life would come from our spirit. Our life wouldn't come from our brain. Our life wouldn't come from our bodies. our life would come from our spirit. And when he breathed spirit into the man, look at this, he became a living soul, living their spirit. He became a spirit soul. And from his spirit would be the source of his joy. From his spirit would be the source of his peace. From his spirit would be the source of his life. From his spirit would be his strength. From his spirit would be his energy. From his spirit would be the force of life that's feeding his emotions, that's feeding his intellect, feeding his reasoning abilities. And just the body be an expression, the outer man, of what's going on in the inner man. And what sin did was break the spirit of man. What sin did was damage the spirit of man. And this is what God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. He says, "And the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Gave him a job. This is before sin. Man worked. He gave him a job before he gave him a woman. You need to get a job before you get a woman. Amen? Hallelujah. That was good. He gave him a job. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." In the day you eat, you're going to die. Don't eat. Let me just say this too. The next verse is where he created Eve. The next verse is where he took woman, female, out of male and created Eve and brought her back, and they became one flesh. So Eve was on the inside of Adam when God gave Adam this commandment. Eve did not receive this commandment firsthand. She got it secondhand from her husband. And that's why she gets confused in chapter 3 and says some things that God didn't say. And it's why in the New Testament, Adam is held accountable for the fall of man and not her, because God told Adam directly, "Do not eat of this tree. And if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die, and in the day you eat, you will die." The first thing that needs to be noted is Adam lived to be 930 years. Think about that. Can you imagine living 900? America's only like 240 years old. Adam lived 9. I submit to you, I believe it took that long for the devil to convince him to die physically. He didn't know how to die. He didn't have the 6 o'clock news to depress you and discourage you and pollute you and defile you and discourage you and make you want to die. 930 years. So what did God mean then when he said, "Look, Adam, if you eat of this, the very day you eat, surely you will die"? Something died. The Hebrew actually says, where it says, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." The literal Hebrew translation of that is, "Thou in dying will die." Death is separation. James 2:26 says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." So what is death? Death is separation. So something died. Something got separated. When Adam sinned, it was his spirit that a form of death lodged itself, and there was a separation in his spirit from God. God didn't separate physically from them. Even after they sinned, he said, "Adam, where are you?" He didn't separate physically from them, but something died on the inside in sins and trespasses. It was his spirit. His spirit got broke. His spirit experienced some type of separation. It wasn't dead like it didn't exist. It was dead like it was separated from the life of God, and there was a form of death in sin and trespasses that lodged into his spirit. So now the spirit that was supposed to be alive from God, the spirit that was supposed to be the very breath of God and feed the soul and direct the body, that spirit is being influenced now by the devil, affecting the soul and the body of man now. And this is what God came to reverse, and this is how God reversed the death. If you will, look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. And you hath he quickened, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before you and I accepted Jesus, we were broken on the inside. And this, listen to me, dear ones, this is what's wrong with man today, and he can't fix himself. People who don't know God, people who haven't read the Bible, believe we're only two parts, soul and body. And they think if they can fix the soul of man, they can fix his body and his actions. And so they're constantly working on philosophy and psychology and the soul. But see, the problem with man in his soul isn't the soul, it's the spirit that's feeding the soul. And the way God designed us wasn't two parts, soul and body. He designed us spirit, soul, and body, and it's the spirit that is the problem with man, and you can't fix your spirit. Psychology can't fix your spirit. Philosophy can't fix your spirit. Just changing your mind and wanting to do better won't fix your spirit. You got to get a new spirit. Your spirit, our spirit, my spirit was dead. Who were dead. It was separated from the life of God in trespasses and sins. My spirit by nature was unrighteous and unholy. The first spirit that God gave to Adam was a righteous spirit and a holy spirit. And sin brought death into that spirit. He says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. The reason people are living like they're living isn't just their thinking. It's a spirit that's dead in sins and trespasses. When in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That just said you weren't in control of your own life. That just said that you weren't doing your own thing. You were being manipulated by demonic powers. You were a puppet in the hands of the devil, and through that dead spirit that had death lodged in it, Satan was working through that, moving you into this world the wrong way. He says, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It used to work in us. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh. Our conversation, meaning way of life, in the lust of our flesh. See, when the spirit and the light that was in the spirit went out and darkness lodged into the spirit, the body started controlling. That's why I can't wait to really get in. I'm just laying a foundation. I can't wait to get into this and show you how we can overcome now through this new spirit and walking after the spirit any lust of our flesh. Before then, the lust of our flesh controlled us. He says, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. Man, I love that. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. There was a death in a third of you, in a third of me. Before I met Jesus, we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with him. By grace are we saved. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for grace that quickened you, made you alive? Aren't you glad that God took away the stony heart and that dead spirit lodged with darkness and gave you a new spirit and his spirit, and now there's light in there? And that can control us, and that can take us wherever we need to go. John 3, you're familiar with it, but please, let me cover this. We have new people, we have young people, young in the Lord. I'm not talking about age, I'm talking about people that are young in the Lord. And this is powerful. There was a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. What a wimp. Sorry. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, I'm so sorry, I gotta hurry, it tickles me. He's buttering the Lord up. We know you're a master, a teacher sent from God. And he's looking around, scared somebody's gonna see him. And he begins to butter the Lord up a little more. You've been doing miracles. Nobody could do these miracles except it be God. And I read this, I'm sorry, I get tickled. It's like Jesus just went right past it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Nick, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You don't see the... Yeah, I am from God. Yeah, I did a lot of miracles. I could do more. I'm awesome. Yeah, I appreciate you acknowledging that, Nick. Thanks for at least coming by night. I wish you'd have came by day, not been such a wimp. It's like the Lord just ignored him. Except a man be born again. I mean, he didn't ask anything about the new birth. He didn't ask any. All right, I need to hurry. You got to be born again, and except you get born again, you can't see God's kingdom. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's just weird. And Jesus said unto him, and Jesus answered, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's what I said.
It's like, but listen, how many times have I? We're laughing, I get it. I'm laughing. But how many times has God spoke to me and I thought natural when he was talking supernatural? How many times has God said we're something and we look at the natural instead of the supernatural? Except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Flesh can't produce anything but flesh. Monkeys can't produce anything but monkeys. Lions can't produce anything but lions. Apples can't produce anything but apples. And the Spirit can't reproduce anything but the Spirit. Your spirit has been born again of the Spirit of God, and it looks just like the Spirit of God. I've seen small wars fought over Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness and patience and meekness and faith and temperance and all these different fruits of the Spirit. And people will say, well, is that the Holy Spirit or is that the human spirit? And then they have a falling out and you start the first church of the Holy Spirit fruit down here. And this is the first church of the human spirit down here. Your spirit is born of the Spirit, and spirit can't reproduce anything but spirit. Monkeys can't reproduce anything but monkeys. People can't reproduce anything but people. Flesh can't reproduce anything but flesh, and the spirit can only reproduce after its own kind, the spirit. You're born again not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Your spirit, man, looks just like Jesus. Your spirit, man, has the righteousness of God Almighty in it. It's been made the very righteousness of God. It's been recreated after the very image of God's Holy Spirit. And yet people feel inadequate. They feel cheated. They feel like God is holding back on them. If you're born again, the very kingdom of God has come on the inside of you, and your spirit man is united to Christ himself. If anyone is joined to the Lord, he's one spirit. Yeah. It looks like love. It has nothing. Your spirit has nothing but joy in it. Well, how come I don't feel it? Because of your lack of thinking right. Privately, I would say you're stinking thinking. You got to renew your mind to it. The Spirit's already been changed. The Spirit's already been sealed. The Spirit is complete. The Spirit is whole. The Spirit is united to Christ. I don't have any problem in one third of me. My problems are right here. And if you don't believe that, just talk to people. Amen. We've got to get renewed in the spirit of our mind. I even went to a Bible college where they were constantly teaching me to get the word in my spirit. My spirit is born of the word, the incorruptible seed. My spirit has the word in it. His name is Jesus. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. I don't need the word in my spirit. Oh, I wish I could have more time. Genesis chapter 2, it says, God watered the earth with a mist from underneath the earth. He watered everything from underneath. It didn't rain on the earth until the flood. There was a canopy over the earth in original creation, and that's why the vegetation could grow like it grew. That's why people could have lifespans of 700, 800, 900 years because of the blocking of the rays of the sun. That's why there could be dinosaurs and was dinosaurs, and the animals would grow like they grew. If a man can live 930 years, I think animals might grow a little bigger and longer too. And so all this stuff starts to make sense when you read the Bible and you really understand creation. And the water came from beneath. Listen, there are rivers of living water on the inside of us, the Spirit. And God wants me to take the Word of God, put it right here as a seed, and God will water it from my spirit and the Holy Spirit in my spirit. It'll take root, and out of the ground, fruit will come. This is how it all works. It's so simple, yet we just keep messing everything up with our theology and our goofy. We're so full of goofy, most of us would be accepted at Disney World full time. Just thought that one out. That was good too. We don't have to make this hard. We just got to understand we are a spirit being, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And our spirit being has been united to Christ Himself. It's been made whole. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And it's first fruits. It's the down payment. And I am saved right now by faith. I'm going to continually be saved through the washing of the water of the Word, cleansing my mind from the thoughts of this world and the foolishness of this world. And then my body, I'm going to show you how to present it, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or your logical service now, Romans 12, 1. Man, God's began a good work in me, in my spirit, and He said He would be faithful to present me complete in His presence, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Man, I'm excited. It's like I'm ready to dig into this now, and let's dissect biblically how we function, biblically who we are and how we are, so that we can be nothing but a blessing to not only God, but to this generation. Amen. Father, thank You for what You've done on the inside of me, and thank You that You've begun a good work and You will complete it unto that day. All You're requiring out of me is to yield, to listen, to be renewed by what You've already accomplished in the cross. Thank You for these precious people. I love our church. Thank You for this city that You placed us in. May we truly be a church for the city, not just in the city, because of who You are in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.